C-minus 6. GSC Headquarters, Buenos Aires, Argentina. To say that GSC Chairman William Godfrey was disappointed in his staff would have been an understatement on the level of saying that his relationships with national leaders in London and Washington were somewhat strained. For despite clear instructions to carry out what he considered a straightforward task, his team had utterly failed to establish any kind of meaningful spatial or temporal relationship between the recent celestial events which had cast such a shadow over his organization and which were fanning the flames of a hysteria that could threaten its very existence. Mathematical and geographical analyses by both human experts and supposedly intelligent computer algorithms had given him nothing. Two of the precise locations that his experts had suggested as potentially relevant, the dying Chinese satellite's entry point over Montana and the perigee point of the Earth-grazing asteroid observed across a huge stretch of California and western Nevada, lay such a tremendous distance from the other key site at Kerguelen that nothing made immediate sense. Temporal analysis came up equally short, with more than one senior figure in more than one GSC facility reporting that it seemed as though a key piece of the puzzle was missing, if there even was a puzzle to solve. During the few hours before the California fireball, Godfrey had experienced a period of relative calm. President Slater accepted the data-backed conclusions in the GSC's report about the Chinese satellite, acknowledging the verified and time-stamped statements and reports from GSC personnel around the world, including former NASA officials, which backed up Godfrey's claim that the satellite was always expected to burn up and never posed a threat, and that the only surprise had been its slightly early entry. This calm had been transient, of course, and was decisively pierced by a wandering asteroid, which served only to massively amplify and exacerbate pre-existing fears. Protests on the street, though highly unwelcome, were something Godfrey could live with. More pertinently, they were something he could outlast, something he could survive. But in the face of political whispers about a high-profile withdrawal from the GSC, the highest-profile withdrawal possible, William Godfrey's prognosis was far less positive. If Slater pulled out, the show was over. All attempts to reach anyone at the upper end of her administration had so far been utterly blanked. And the recent announcement that a White House press conference would take place later in the day already felt like the final nail in Godfrey's coffin. He knew that with no American presence, the Global Space Commission would share a level of legitimacy and potency with the League of Nations. He knew that with no American presence, the organization he had worked so hard to build up would be lucky to see out the month. Some of Godfrey's staff remained frightened by his words from the previous evening on the subject of a potential alien invasion. The strategic reports he had been given on that front were about as useful as the reports he'd been given on recent celestial events, but Godfrey cared little about any of that now. If the aliens were coming, part of him was beginning to spitefully hope that they were hostile. They could blitz the planet with laser rays for all he cared, because for William Godfrey, a life without power was no life at all. But if they didn't come, or at least until they did, he would fight tooth and nail to hang on to what he had. And if fate should insist that William Godfrey was going down, he sure as hell wasn't going down alone.